Today on Impact for Living, founder, sports and business leader, and pastor Scott Whitaker will challenge you to reach your God-given potential and impact, which you were created to have with and for Jesus Christ in the world. Now, here's Scott with today's message.
This morning, I want to read from three passages of Scripture, three different books in the New Testament. First, out of the last book in the Bible, Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. "Look," Jesus said, "I have been standing at the door, and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me." And then out of the Gospel of John, familiar passage out of John 3:16, but also I want to read verse 17, which is also one of my favorites. And read this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And then verse 17: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And then out of the Gospel of Matthew, verse 28 and 30, out of chapter 11: "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" Did you hear that passage? And when we read Revelation, Jesus said, standing at the door knocking. And then John 3:16 and 17, God sent his Son because he loved us to save us. And then Matthew 11, where he reminds us that he is here to help us. Let me read it again. "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" So, how's it going out there for you? How's it going out there for your family, for your children, and for your grandchildren, for close friends? How about for your neighbors? It's an interesting time. You know, I'm not sure we've been through times like these that we're going through now, with so many things impacting our lives, at least not that I can remember, with issues seemingly coming at us from many different directions all at once. The surprise introduction and worldwide spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, then increased attention to lingering issues of race through incident after incident, then the concerns about public safety, with what started as protests descending into looting and then terrorist-like activities of destruction and violence in the streets affecting life and property and disrespecting civility and disrespecting each other and law enforcement and the symbols and traditions of our great nation, which needs to continue to become a better nation together. And then there's the energy and vitriol reminding us that, hey, once again, it's election time. And to that, add the angst and attacks surrounding the nomination of a new justice to the United States Supreme Court. While we remain saddled with too many politicians at all levels abandoning, it seems, many of them, their constitutional, legal, as well as moral duties that they swore to uphold with the privilege of representing those of us who elected them. Instead, they fight with each other, condemn each other in office just because they disagree with them. I wonder if we could use a dose of hope. I wonder if we need, individually, in our personal lives, and as a nation, a reminder of God's undeserved, unmerited grace and love for each of us, a grace we could then perhaps share with each other, and then others we meet that God crosses our lives with when we least expect it. I wonder if that would help with all that we seem to be facing today. There's a remarkable story which began with a man who was injured in a fire while attempting to save his parents from a burning house. True story. He couldn't save them. And in his unsuccessful efforts, his face was badly burned and disfigured. He felt guilty, mistakenly interpreting his pain and disfigurement as God's punishment. something he felt that maybe he deserved for not being able to save his parents from that fire. Well, after some period of recovery from the incident, still badly scarred and disfigured, he closed himself off, wouldn't let anyone see him, not even his devoted bride. She sought out help from a world-renowned plastic surgeon by the name of Dr. Maxwell Maltz. Dr. Maltz told her, hey, don't worry about it, that he could help to restore her husband's face. The man's bride was unfazed by Dr. Maltz's assurances because her husband had repeatedly refused any help, and she knew that he would again refuse this surgeon's help. So then, why are you here? To see me, the doctor asked. I want you to disfigure my face, she said, so that I can be like him. If I can share his pain, maybe then he will let me back into his life. The doctor was shocked, of course, refused her request, but was so moved by her love for her husband that he went to speak with her husband. He knocked on the man's bedroom door over and over and called out loudly, I'm a plastic surgeon and I can help you. I can restore your face. The man wouldn't come out. There was no response. Please come out, the doctor pleaded. But time and again, the man wouldn't respond to the doctor's requests. Then the doctor moved as close as he could to the door and quietly shared his bride's request of him the previous day when she came to see him at his office. She wants me to disfigure her face, to make her face like yours, in the hope that you will let her back into your life. That's how much she loves you. There was a brief moment of complete and deafening silence, and then, ever so slowly, the doorknob began to turn. He let her in. That woman's love for her husband was an earthly example and reminder of God's love for you and for me. The way that woman felt about her husband and what she was willing to sacrifice for him was an earthly example and reminder of the way God feels about us and the commitment and sacrifice he made and continues to make for you and for me. Grace, God's grace. Grace literally means favor. And when it refers to God, it means the unmerited love and favor of God toward each one of us. The grace of God is a unique and life-changing attribute of God. God is defined by grace. God is grace. The unmerited love and favor of God telling us over and over and over how much he loves you and me. That no matter the burdens we carry, he is there. He is there to carry them with us. No matter the mistakes we have made or the guilt we carry, he has forgiven us. His grace has wiped our grimy slates clean, and he stands waiting for us to forgive ourselves and those around us and to move on with him. And when we finally have to admit that we don't yet have life figured out, God stands there with open arms, ready to show us the way, ready for us to press on with him, to be all we were created to be, and to touch the world with and for him. From a dirty, filthy stable, the baby Jesus cried out to a world that he came to save, I love you. From the cross at Calvary, Jesus breathed, it is finished, declaring with that last breath to everyone there, including those who had just nailed him to the cross, and to all of us through the centuries, including you and me, I love you. From the empty tomb, the risen Christ, daily and eternally, proclaims his love for us and invites us to believe in him, to ask for his forgiveness, and to follow him here and into eternity with him. And we are called to share that love with others. Do we have that kind of love for others? The love of Christ for each of us? The example of the love of that lady for her husband? Do we have it in our personal lives? Maybe we need to share that love with a world seemingly spinning out of control all around us. That's the love of God for each one of us. Always there to pick us up, comfort us, and to send us back into life. A love we are called to share with everyone around us. God's grace, always there for us. Always there for us to share. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this moment, just to stop and to remember that your grace is overwhelming and always with us. Help us to receive it, to accept it in those areas of our lives where we just haven't, so that we can begin to become all that you created us to be, and that with you, we can share your love with others, that they would see you through us. Be with those of us struggling now through surgeries, through COVID-19 illnesses, through whatever we're going through. Do what you always do and reach down and touch those folks in a special way. Remind them that you're there. You've got them. Thank you for that. Thank you for all that you do for us. But most importantly, thank you for walking with us, reminding us that you love us, that you're with us, helping us to become all that you want us to be, all that you created us to be, so that we with you can touch the world around us to help them become all that you created them to be. Thanks for loving us, and thanks for your precious Son. And it's in his precious name we pray, amen and amen.
We hope that Scott's message today has challenged and encouraged you. Thank you for being with us, and be sure to join Scott and Impact for Living next week for another faith-filled message focused on God's plan and purpose for your life.